The Imitation of Christ by Thomas A. Kempis. Part 26. Book 3, the 43rd chapter. Beware vain and worldly knowledge. The Voice of Christ. My child, do not let the fine-sounding and subtle words of men deceive you. For the kingdom of heaven consists not in talk, but in virtue. Attend, rather, to my words, which enkindle the heart and enlighten the mind, which excite contrition and abound in manifold consolations. Never read them for the purpose of appearing more learned or more wise. Apply yourself to mortifying your vices, for this will benefit you more than your understanding of many difficult questions. Though you shall have read and learned many things, it will always be necessary for you to return to this one principle. I am he who teaches man knowledge, and to the little ones I give a clearer understanding than can be taught by man. He to whom I speak will soon be wise, and his soul will profit. But woe to those who inquire of men about many curious things, and care very little about the way they serve me. The time will come when Christ, the teacher of teachers, the Lord of angels, will appear to hear the lessons of all, that is, to examine the conscience of everyone. Then he will search Jerusalem with lamps, and the hidden things of darkness will be brought to light, and the arguing of men's tongues be silenced. I am he who in one moment so enlightens the humble mind that it comprehends more of eternal truth than could be learned by 10 years in the schools. I teach without noise of words or clash of opinions, without ambition for honor or confusion of argument. I am he who teaches man to despise earthly possessions and to loathe present things, to ask after the eternal, to hunger for heaven, to fly honors and to bear with scandals, to place all hope in me, to desire nothing apart from me, and to love me ardently above all things. For a certain man, by loving me, intimately learned divine truths and spoke wonders. He profited more by leaving all things than by studying subtle questions. To some I speak of common things, to others of special matters. To some I appear with sweetness in signs and figures, and to others I appear in great light and reveal mysteries. The voice of books is but a single voice, yet it does not teach all men alike, because I, within them, am the teacher and the truth, the examiner of hearts, the understander of thoughts, the promoter of acts, distributing to each as I see fit. The 44th chapter. Do not be concerned about outward things. The Voice of Christ. My child, there are many matters of which it is well for you to be ignorant, and to consider yourself as one who is dead upon the earth, and to whom the whole world is crucified. There are many things, too, which it is well to pass by with a deaf ear, thinking instead of what is more to your peace. It is more profitable to turn away from things which displease you, and to leave to every man his own opinion, than to take part in quarrelsome talk. If you stand well with God, and look to his judgment, you will more easily bear being worsted. The Disciple. To what have we come, Lord? Behold, we bewail a temporal loss. We labor and fret for a small gain, while loss of the soul is forgotten, and scarcely ever returns to mind. That which is of little or no value claims our attention, whereas that which is of highest necessity is neglected, all because man gives himself wholly to outward things. And unless he withdraws himself quickly, he willingly lies immersed in the externals. The 45th chapter. All men are not to be believed, for it is easy to err in speech. The disciple. Grant me help in my needs, O Lord, for the aid of man is useless. How often have I failed to find faithfulness in places where I thought I possessed it? And how many times I have found it where I least expected it? Vain, therefore, is hope in men, but the salvation of the just is in you, O God. Blessed be your name, O Lord my God, in everything that befalls us. We are weak and unstable, quickly deceived and changed. Who is the man who is able to guard himself with such caution and care as not sometimes to fall into deception or perplexity? He who confides in you, O Lord, and seeks you with a simple heart, does not fall so easily. And if some trouble should come upon him, no matter how entangled in it he may be, he will be more quickly delivered and comforted by you. For you will not forsake him who trusts in you to the very end. Rare is the friend who remains faithful through all his friend's distress. But you, Lord, and you alone, are entirely faithful in all things. Other than you, there is none so faithful. Oh, how wise is that holy soul who said, "My mind is firmly settled and founded in Christ." If that were true of me, human fear would not so easily cause me anxiety, nor would the darts of words disturb. But who can foresee all things and provide against all evils? And if things foreseen have often hurt, can those which are unlooked for do otherwise than wound us gravely? Why, indeed, have I not provided better for my wretched self? Why, too, have I so easily kept faith in others? We are but men, however, nothing more than weak men, although we are thought by many to be, and are called, angels. In whom shall I put my faith, Lord? In whom but you? You are the truth which does not deceive and cannot be deceived. Every man, on the other hand, is a liar, weak, unstable, and likely to err, especially in words, so that one ought not to be too quick to believe even that which seems, on the face of it, to sound true. How wise was your warning to beware of men, that a man's enemies are those of his own household, that we should not believe if anyone says, "Behold, he is here," or "Behold, he is there." I have been taught to my own cost, and I hope it has given me greater caution, not greater folly. "Beware," they say, "beware and keep to yourself what I tell you." Then, while I keep silent, believing that the matter is secret, he who asks me to be silent cannot remain silent himself, but immediately betrays both me and himself, and goes his way. From tales of this kind, and from such careless men, protect me, O Lord, lest I fall into their hands and into their ways. Put in my mouth words that are true and steadfast, and keep far from me the crafty tongue, because what I am not willing to suffer, I ought by all means to shun. Oh, how good and how peaceful it is to be silent about others, not to believe without discrimination all that is said, not easily to report it further, to reveal oneself to few, always to seek you as the discerner of hearts, and not to be blown away by every wind of words, but to wish that all things, within and beyond us, be done according to the pleasure of thy will. How conducive it is for the keeping of heavenly grace to fly the gaze of men, not to seek abroad things which seem to cause admiration, but to follow with utmost diligence those which give fervor and amendment of life. How many have been harmed by having their virtue known and praised too hastily? And how truly profitable it has been when grace remained hidden during this frail life, which is all temptation and warfare. End of part 26.